Cantrell to the 20, needs a block, pinball down to the 5. Roll call time, Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw, steps up, deep ball down the middle of the field, he's got
35, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Giants!
Romo drops straight back to throw, steps up, gets hit by Canty,
pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown Giants!
There goes Reed again, trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and of course you, our fans, Big Blue Nation, your opportunity to get in on the show. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Those are digits to dial up. Also, all things social media, Paul monitors Twitter throughout the show. Any questions or comments that are worthy, we will share on the show. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat and rock and roll. Also, it's Thursday. What does that mean? Yes, not only is it Thirsty Thursday, and you're probably heading to happy hour come around 5 p.m. Eastern time.
Holy smokes.
It is Thirsty Thursday. But Eric Kennedy, owner of Big Blue Interactive, one of the Giants fan sites out there, will join us in about 7 minutes. So we're going to hear from him, get a vibe of what the fans are saying, feeling about Big Blue Nation as they get ready to take on Green Bay Packers, hosting a third-string quarterback in Scott Tolzien.
Yes, indeed.
And looking to win four straight for the Giants. How about that?
That would be very cool. Mm-hmm. I think the one thing I do want to remind fans, for those of you who may have been caught on the moon or Mars for the last week or two, is that the game was moved.
Moon
it is not
or
a primetime game.
Moon or Mars?
Well, it is, perhaps.
Really?
The primetime game that was the Giants
Paul,
in Green
Bay. We need to work on your swag, my friend.
Is now 425. So that's been the case now for a couple of weeks, in case you have not been around.
Right.
It is a 425 kickoff, not a 1 o'clock kickoff, not an 8:30 kickoff, but a 425 kickoff. Okay?
Okay.
Good.
Good, bad. I will tell you this. Players are creatures of habit, and even though a lot of them obviously would love to play under the bright lights on the big stage primetime television, believe it or not, a lot of them really like that 1 o'clock start time.
You know, John Beeson said yesterday he was insulted by having the game bumped out of prime time. He did not like that.
I think Giants fans, as well as Giants players, should be insulted. Pretty much the network is saying, like, you know what? Green Bay Packers, New York Football Giants, two of the most historic organizations, franchises in the NFL, we're going to pass on you because a hobbled Peyton Manning is going to go up against an undefeated Kansas City Chiefs team. That's what the network said. Yeah, you know what? If I'm Beeson, if I'm any of these Giants players in this locker room, I'm feeling slighted too. I'm a little ticked off.
We will find out by Tuesday if the Giants in Washington on December 1st are going to be flexed out. That still has a possibility of moving. And I think that if either one of the teams, either Washington or the Giants, win on Sunday, that game's likely to stick. Because obviously this division is just so incredibly tight that in all likelihood, one of those teams will still have some implications going on in a couple of weeks. So that's what I'll be watching for there. Anyway, we've got a game to talk about.
Yeah, we do. Again, 201-939-4513. News of the day, anything really stand out from yesterday? I know that you saw a little bit of practice. We spoke to the players in the locker room. Anything stand out for you before we bring Eric on?
Yeah, one thing does. JPP injury. He's got a sore shoulder. And when I pressed him yesterday about all hands being on deck and the Giants need to win this game, et cetera, he said to me, no, it hurts and I don't feel right. It's my body. I know what it does. I know what it feels like. If I'm not right, I'm not going out there on Sunday to play. And that gave me a little bit of a cause to pause, because I would have thought, after the last couple of weeks, as Jason was starting to get a little bit better and a little bit more comfortable, I would have thought he would have been anxious to stay out on the field. Now, maybe that shoulder is worse than what we think. My understanding, he only had a stinger in the game. But if that's really a problem, then the Giants need to be concerned about it. And he said yesterday he was not sure, as of yesterday, if he was going to be able to play. That's not great.
What about DeMontre Moore? What did you see from him first game back after the bye? I mean, you and I talked about, all right, phase two of the season. Certain players are going to have to step up. We talked about JPP. We're anticipating better play from the offensive line as a whole, but we really haven't talked a lot about DeMontre Moore. I mean, he had that block punt. Thoughts on him this season?
Got in for a couple of snaps during the game when the guys needed a rest, but has really not been able to crack that defensive end rotation. Now, obviously, if JPP's not able to go, there's a whole bunch of snaps that need to be taken by somebody. I think Colin Jenkins will probably take some of them. Obviously, Tuck and Kiwi are all going to be out there too, but I would like to think that Moore's going to get more snaps at that spot. If for no other reason, then how about this, Anita? And we know Tom Coughlin likes to reward guys who do well at practice, but how about this? DeMontre Moore just made a huge play on specials the other day, not just the block punt, but I don't know if you know this, because I know you didn't see every play. How about the fact that on special teams, when Jernigan fumbled that kickoff to begin the game, DeMontre Moore was the guy who made the tackle at the five and prevented the Raiders from actually taking back that fumble for a touchdown. So he made two big plays on special teams, not just one. And I think a lot of people overlooked that, but he hustled his butt off and knocked the guy out of bounds. So I guess what I'm saying is, how about, just for the heck of it, rewarding DeMontre Moore for the kind of performance he put forth last week and give him a few snaps at defensive end, just to be nice about it. Give this guy a little bit to chew on, and maybe he makes a play. How about that?
Well, let's hear what the fans have to say. Let's bring on Eric Kennedy, again, owner of Big Blue Interactive, one of the best Giants fan sites out there. Eric is with us every Thursday to give us a sense of how the fans are feeling about the upcoming matchup. So, Eric, first and foremost, I mean, the Giants, three winning streak, all indication they're favored by a touchdown going into this game against Green Bay. Yet again, the stars align properly. They're going up against a third-string quarterback really an offensive line that's just being shuffled around. This bodes well yet again for the Giants. I mean, how realistic are the fans looking at the last three games and then heading into this game?
You know, the fans were surprisingly negative on Sunday. If you went to the website and you checked out the message boards, you'd be hard-pressed if you didn't watch the game and know the result that the Giants had won that football game. I think fans are still looking for that elusive, not perfect game, but a game where the Giants are playing well on all three phases. And I think fans are pleased for the most part with the defense, but they've had it up to their ears with the special teams, and everyone's really starting to worry about Eli Manning right now, and everyone's got their own reasons why Eli's struggling, and you know, everyone has their own thoughts on that. But I think that's making people nervous, is that they know they're scraping by the skin of their teeth against some mediocre teams. I was pretty happy because I just know how hard it is to win on Sunday in the NFL against any team. And I thought, you know, usually when you have a team like the Raiders coming off a bad loss like they are, they usually rebound pretty well. And the Raider defense wasn't as bad as they looked against the Eagles. But I think, you know, the fans are nervous. They're a little upset. And a lot of that goes back to Eli and the special teams right now.
You know, Eric, the one thing that I find very curious about is that when the team gets off to a bad start, and the other day against Oakland, Jernigan fumbled that kickoff return,
yep,
and then immediately the Raiders are able to turn around and cash it into points. I don't know how many times you've been in this building, but holy smokes, it goes quiet in a heartbeat. And I often wonder why the fans don't just decide that they're going to do something to pick up the team, as opposed to waiting for the team to do something right first. You know, it's a chicken and the egg kind of thing.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I have to say this to give the fans credit. There have been games this year at home where they've gotten pretty into the game despite the 0-6 start, and, you know, they've supported their team. It is a chicken and egg deal with Giants fans. They're not gonna blindly cheer mediocrity. You know, or even worse. It's very hard to to get excited when your kick returner can't even hold on to the football on the opening kickoff. So I can understand that. But I thought the fans got back into that game and made things difficult. I was proud of the way the fans reacted, for instance, right before the block punt. It's 3rd and 15. The crowd's getting into it. They could sense that this was a big down to stop them there. So I understand it, and I kind of agree with you, especially early on in the game. But I think the fans have, for the most part, given the fact that, again, we're talking about a fan base that has gotten a little spoiled in the last 10 years with playoff success and glory and all that, I think that they have stuck with the team and will continue to do so as long as the team just doesn't embarrass itself on the field. You know, as long as there aren't any more of these Carolina Panther games like they had a number of weeks ago.
Well, I've got to tell you this. They need to be from the get-go on Sunday because you've got, as Janita said, a third-string quarterback who's going to be making his first NFL start. And if there's ever a guy who's going to be shaken up by a raucous and rowdy crowd, it could be this guy.
Yeah, but also remember the Giants' history against backup quarterbacks hasn't been stellar either. So I think fans will be definitely trying to be making it loud for this guy. At the back of their minds, there's a long history, even going back pre-Coughlin, of guys coming into that stadium who you've never heard of and embarrassing the team. So I think the Giants players, if you listen to them this week, whether they believe it or not, they seem to recognize that. And that's been a popular subject of discussion this week, too, is let's not take this guy too lightly. Sometimes not knowing a lot about a guy can actually work against you because you don't have a lot of game film on him and you don't know his strengths and weaknesses and all that. So I think in a lot of ways this is a dangerous game for the Giants because the back is so unknown. It would almost be better if Seneca Wallace was in there because there's at least more film to go on with him.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Again, Eric Kennedy joining us, owner of Blue Interactive. Eric, thoughts on Andre Brown? Pretty interesting. Going into that game, Andre Brown was not supposed to get as many carries as he did. My goodness, 30. But because Peyton Hillis fumbled the ball, we all know how Tom Coughlin feels about players who turn the ball over. We got a really big, heavy dose of Andre Brown. What are the fans saying about Andre Brown? They must be thrilled that he's back.
Oh, they're thrilled with the way he played. I'm shocked that they were able to use him as much as they were. So he's been a very big topic of discussion this week. People are thrilled. Everyone was a little nervous because Brandon Jacobs played a similar game against Chicago, but he didn't come out of that game physically well. And I think the fear was, come Monday and Tuesday, what kind of shape was Brown going to be in? Was he going to be able to practice yesterday, which he did, thankfully. So I think that the people were sort of holding their breath, saying, hopefully he didn't come out of the game so banged up he wouldn't even be a factor this week. But they're thrilled. What a great, amazing story. I mean, the fact that he came in and had career highs and carries coming off of injured reserve, I mean, that's astounding. So if they can get more productivity like that out of him, hopefully get Brandon Jacobs back, that's a nice 1-2 punch from a physical standpoint of pounding the other defense. So it's all up to the offensive line. They've and John Connor's been a tremendous addition to this team, but the offensive line is going to have to help out the running backs, and they've got some good defensive lines coming up that they're going to have to face. So hopefully the guys, especially in the inside, Cordell and David Deal and Booth, is that they are up to the task of helping out these physical running backs between the tackles.
Eric, final one from me. Anita and I have been talking about how the Giants needed to tweak this offense for several weeks because just loading up and looking for the big play was not working out for a lot of reasons. They've been a lot more balanced during this winning streak. They're keeping the ball on the ground. They're able to move the chains with the running game. But yet, it's not as sexy, not as spectacular, not as highlight film grabbing as we've been used to seeing from Eli Manning over the last decade. What are the fans saying about that? Are they disappointed? Are they getting bored with this? Are they okay with it? Do they understand, quite frankly, that this is the smartest way the Giants can go to win?
Paul, that's a great question. I think it comes down to this. That sometimes fans want it all. They want to see the big passing plays, and they want to see the physical running game. And there's only so many touches and only so many snaps in a game. And I actually sometimes think fans don't realize that. So if you emphasize the run and you're running the ball 30, 40 times a game with the various running backs, your passing yardage isn't going to be up there unless you're facing a defense that's completely fallen apart and you have a perfect day. And that rarely happens. So I understand what you're getting at, and I agree with you. I think some fans don't realize there's a trade-off there, that if you're going to emphasize one aspect of the game, the other one's going to suffer. And I think we've seen a little bit of that this week. I think some fans do understand it, and some of the older fans will almost, you know, they go back to the older Giants teams and they remember the ground and pound teams and the power running game and that type of thing. So it's bringing back fond memories. And the thing it does, it helps out the defense too. I mean, if as long as you're not getting these three and outs on offense and you're giving the defense a bit of a rest,
exactly.
I think some fans recognize that. So I think, but you do see fans saying, you know, yeah, we ran 133 yards, but where's the passing game? Why didn't we throw for four touchdowns, too? So there is a trade-off there.
Eric, thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure having you on Thursdays. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
You got it. Eric Kennedy, owner of Big Blue Interactive. Make sure you check out that site and definitely become a member. Phone lines are open, folks, 201-939-4513. Anita Marks, Paul DeNino, you're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live with you until 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time today. Also, all things social media, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Giants. Any questions or comments about the show, include that hashtag Giants Chat. We will share them on the program. And the schedule for today, we're off at 10:30. Players then do begin practice a little bit later on this afternoon, what, like 11:55, right, Paul?
I think so, yeah. I got to get my papers
out. I mean,
we should
know this by now.
I know. But you know what? It's that screwy schedule we've had the last couple of weeks with the bye week and everything else that throws me out of practice, too.
So players will practice following practice. Head coach Tom Coughlin and the players will make themselves available to the media.
At 1:45.
There we go. But practice, media...
11:55 to 45 is practice. Then
right.
Coach. Then player interviews till 2:35, and then of course we've got a show at 4:00 on Giants.com.
Right.
Blue Hits.
So that'll be myself, Paul DeTino, and Roman Ope. So make sure you tune into that. I had the pleasure of having Matthias Kiwanuka.
Yeah.
Kiwi.
It was good.
On the show yesterday, and he was excellent. If you missed Big Blue Hits yesterday, it is archived. Yes, on Giants.com. Fantastic. Thank you, Nile. And you can log on and make sure you watch that interview. He was very good. Talked a lot about, you know, where this team is at mentally, the importance of John Beeson, what he's meant to this defense, how they're looking forward to the Green Bay Packers, and a lot more. So it was a very, very good interview. Kiwi is one of the best here with the New York Football Giants. So if you missed it, please, by all means, log on to Giants.com and fill yourself in. Again, 201-939-4513. Paul, we've got a full bank of calls. Why don't we head out to some of our Big Blue Nation fans? All right, we kick it off with Steve calling in from Staten Island. Steve, welcome.
Hey, good morning, Anita. Good morning, Paul. How
Hi.
Are you guys?
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay, ready. Listen, listen here. You know how what Eli's got to do Sunday? I'm going to tell you. Bottom line, and every Giant fan will have to agree here. You could put away the talk of the bad start and the talk of the picks and the talk of all that other nonsense. He's going to go out and play perfect football. I'm not saying you got to put up 8 touchdowns. You know what? No picks. You got the running game. It looks like it's going to turn the corner. Bottom line, if he's going to throw for over 300 yards, then put the points behind it. And to me, you can make every Giant fan forget about all the Eli talk all you want. He's in a funk. Don't say no. But you know what? Listen, I trust him. I wouldn't want any other quarterback right now on my team. I don't care. You could talk Romo. You could talk this guy. As far as I'm concerned, Eli's your general, and that's the guy you stick with. And I believe that if this guy can get some nice yards, put up some good points, have a really perfect game, you know what? You don't have to talk about all the mistakes Eli did. And I'll tell you something else, too. You couldn't ask for a gift game this Sunday. This is a gift. If you stop and take a look at who the quarterback is for the Packers, and you're looking at this Packer team, this is a gift. This has Giants win written all over it from the outset. And yeah, all right, it was tough on backup quarterbacks sometimes come in and kind of like make this team look a little foolish. I mean, you know, Charlie Whitehurst, you know, we can go back then. But you know what? I don't care. This is a gift game. It's a team that's built to win. I like the way they're starting to play. All right, you know, their defense really put great pressure on the Raiders quarterback last week. And personally, me, you could, again, wipe out all the naysay Eli Manning talk with him putting up a phenomenal game. I got one question, though, guys, and then I want to hang up. You know, what's going to happen now with your running back situation? Because I tell you now, I hate to see them, you know, cut or whatever with Peyton Hillis, because I think he came in at a big time and really, I mean, I know he had the fumble Sunday, but, you know, do you see any long-term plans with him backing up Brown down the road, right? Thanks for taking my call, guys. Have a good one.
Steve, thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. We do appreciate it. A few things. Number one, I don't see Peyton Hillis going anywhere because you've got David Wilson on IR. You've got Brandon Jacobs dealing with a knee issue. And you got Michael Cox, who's a rookie. So I think moving forward, the remainder of the season, I think it's going to be a heavy dose of Iron Brown. God willing, please, please, please let him stay healthy. And then a compliment with Peyton Hillis. I think that's how this backfield is gonna ride out.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Anita. And as far as the part of the caller's point, you know I did a lot of scouting on this game, and we discussed yesterday, and I told you exactly what my scouting report was on Tolzien. And you looked at me and you said, of course, Paul, he's a third-string quarterback. What do you expect? He's not good, okay? He's not good. He's been around the NFL for 3 years. And in a nutshell, what I told Anita yesterday was he throws off balance, throws flat-footed, he throws off his wrong foot, he slings the ball, he's not very accurate beyond 15 to 20 yards, he stares down his receivers, he would rather throw the ball away in traffic than he would take a sack, does not have mobility outside the pocket. I mean, the good stuff you want to say about him, and it's everything you're hearing out of Green Bay, he understood the offense, and he ran the right plays. And they're drooling over that fact. Now, that's good, because many third-string quarterbacks in this league probably can't run the right plays. So big thumbs up to him. That's wonderful. But in terms of having the skill set that you need to run the complete package to beat a good NFL defense, he does not have it, period. And he's also working with an offensive line that's more likelihood going to have three positions shuffled in front of him at center, at right guard, and at right tackle. And if you missed it yesterday, I told you that Marshall Newhouse, who at one time was a left tackle for this team, in all likelihood will start at right tackle on Sunday. He has given up 24.5 sacks in two and a half seasons. That's 24.5. You know how many that is? That's a lot. This is a problem for this guy. The call is right. This has Giants written all over it.
Also, he mentioned Eli Manning, and we received a tweet yesterday on Twitter that was a little upsetting to me, and that is somebody had accused us of comparing Eli Manning to Jake Locker, and that is inaccurate. And if there's anyone out there who was listening yesterday and you misunderstood what we were saying, the quarterback coach at one point in time for Eli Manning was Chris Palmer, okay? At that point in time, Chris Palmer, in the way that he worked with Eli Manning, really had Eli Manning kind of a vintage in his, like, really.
Took him to another level.
Exactly. Now, fast forward. Chris Palmer went to Tennessee and started working with Jake Locker. Jake Locker and Chris Palmer butted heads. The organization, people in the organization did not like Chris Palmer. Chris Palmer is no longer with Jake Locker. Since Chris Palmer has left, Jake Locker has elevated his game. Before him getting injured, whether it's the hip and now he's out with the foot injury, so he's going to be placed on IR if he hasn't been already, you saw Jake Locker's get better when Chris Palmer left the organization. So that's, we were talking about Chris Palmer. No, in no way, shape, or form were we ever comparing Eli Manning to Jake Locker.
I don't
talking
know.
About a quarterback coach.
Yeah, I'm not sure of the complete list of the guys who Palmer has worked with over the course of his career, but he was in Dallas with Parcells, and obviously, look what happened with Romo. He was in New England with Parcells. We all know the good quarterbacks they've had, Bledsoe and then Tom Brady. We obviously know what he did with Eli Manning. Chris Palmer's track record in terms of helping quarterbacks get better is virtually spotless. Jake Locker appears to be the one bad blemish on it. That was his most recent job. That was the point that we were trying to make, that is it a coincidence that when Chris Palmer was here, Eli, you know, had, if not all of his best seasons, most of them? You could kind of leave that up to your own interpretation. But I do believe very strongly in Chris Palmer.
201-939-4513. Let's continue.
Can I throw one more thing out?
Sure.
By the way, we were talking about the pack a minute ago, and then you wanted to talk about Eli. I think that was a good point to make. I mentioned to you yesterday as well, maybe off the air, that the Green Bay Packers lead the National Football League in offensive holding penalties against with 17.
Yeah, I shared that with Kiwi last night.
So you're talking about a third-string quarterback, a suspect and shuffling offensive line, and one that has been penalized for the cardinal sin of all offensive lines holding by far more. The Giants, 7 offensive holding penalties this year. Packers, 17, lead the league. Another bad sign for Green Bay. I wanted to get that out there.
Yeah, but let me just say, you know, I'm because one of the biggest criticisms about you is that you sound like Homer, Paul. But the way that I understand all the numbers and all the stats, and yes, numbers never lie, but any given Sunday, dude, Sunday, don't give Giants fans this perception that this is going to be an absolute blowout. This is a Green Bay Packers team. Clay Matthews is back. Granted, he's playing with a club on his hand. I get it. But this isn't a chop liver team. This is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay? This is going to be a battle. This isn't going to be a walk in the park for the Giants.
There is no way, after what the Giants have put on the field through the first 9 weeks of the season, that anybody can have any confidence that would indicate they're going to blow anybody out or they're going to have an easy time.
Okay.
That's impossible. What I'm saying is, though, the Packers are a reeling team with a lot of problems, a lot more problems than the Giants. And if the Giants just, you know, realize that and take care of business and just be very calm and methodical and just play sound, clean football, they should win this game. Because I don't think the Packers have it in them, given all of these circumstances, to actually play a very good game. So the key for the Giants is don't play down to the Packers' level. Don't play bad, sloppy, miserable football like you did earlier in the season. Just play a good, sound, fundamental game, and they should win.
201-939-4513. We continue with our calls. We go to JD in Virginia. JD, welcome. You're on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, good morning. I'm actually going to speak to the A-team of the show. Good stuff. Mr. Dottino, always a pleasure, sir.
How you doing?
I still feel the energy.
Thank you.
Still feel the energy, sir. Thank you for keeping it going. Miss Marks is always beautiful as ever. First things first, thank you very much for taking my call. I'm pleased with the defense. I want to see, you know, a little bit more intensity. The offense, I figure it's going to come around. It's continue to work. I have one quick question. I noticed that the Giants signed Dallas Reynolds, who was a – and I was wanting to know I know – Jim Cordell is doing a better job. He's improving each game, but it just still doesn't seem like they're having that same push, you know, same aggressive push, because I know Jim Cordell can also, he can play center guard and things like that. That's one of the beautiful things about the Giants line. They're very diverse, but they actually have somebody that's known for playing a center to get that push and get that between guard and center push to make that hole for the running back to run through. Do you see Dallas Reynolds getting any ton of time?
No.
And
no, okay. You know why? Because they've actually got some chemistry going with these guys right now. They took half a season to get it squared away. Is Boss in? Is Boss out? Is Cordell okay? Does Booth need to play? What's the deal? They finally settled in on Cordell and said, you know what? He's getting a little bit better, and he's good enough. And so they've gone with this line now for weeks. They're running the ball better. Is it great? No. Absolutely it's not great. But it's a heck of a lot better than it was earlier this year. And for the moment, the Giants will take that. And so they're not going to mess it up and run the risk of going backwards.
No doubt. Man, well, listen, always enjoy the show. Thank you very much for the time. And always stay up, stay true. Go G-Men. Go Big Blue.
Hey, thanks for the call. Anita, let me get to some of these Giants chats you asked me about. Mike Farmer says, gang tackle, Lacy, stuff the run, make the backup quarterback beat us, keep up the good run defense from the go and Giants win. Saraceno, SJS0816, says, Anita is exactly right. We cannot afford to go into Sunday thinking we have a guaranteed victory. We have to respect all teams. Says we can't underestimate the Packers, but we do have a great opportunity in front of us. And then let's see here. That's it for the morning so far. So a little slow on the tweets, but that's okay.
Also, let's just there is a tweet here about the pick situation.
Did I miss?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he sent it to me. Here it says, to Lance and Schmelk, you guys maybe need to talk to Anita about the pick situation. Obviously, she has no clue. Team Anita, Giants chat. Okay. At the beginning of the season, last year, we did this fantasy football contest where we picked fantasy football guys.
Right.
And this year, we're picking teams. Well, I haven't submitted teams in the past few weeks. But Lance is still giving me losses. I haven't submitted any teams.
Oh, I get it now. He's making you winless every time he doesn't get picks from you.
What's that about?
That's ridiculous.
I know.
Oh, he needs to be hung by his toenails.
What? I mean,
you can't do that.
I'm not making picks. I can't lose picks I'm not making.
Wow. Oh, that's not cool.
No, it's not. So Lance and Schmelk are going to be hosting the show tomorrow. So anybody who's going to call in tomorrow, please give them a hard time about that, because how can I be losing games that I'm not even picking?
Yeah, on Wednesdays.
They have me at 20 and 35. I haven't picked games
on Wednesdays,
7 weeks.
On Wednesdays, we get this message from Lance that you're supposed to pick 4 games that they've picked out, plus a wild card game and an underdog upset game. And those games can't have a point spread bigger than a touchdown, I believe is the rules, or 6 points or whatever it is. And I've been just, okay, fine. And in a matter of 15 seconds, I just fire back a response with teams. Now, I have no idea what, other than when I see the email that apparently says I'm winning, but on a week-to-week basis, I'm not keeping track. I have no idea which of my games are going well or not going well. And quite frankly, it's kind of a lark to me anyway.
Well, and here's another one. The boys are dogging you out, Anita, because each week you don't submit picks. Lance is giving me an 0-6.
I think that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Because how else could you be under 500?
That's so uncool of Lance. What's he doing? Anyway, please give them a hard time tomorrow on the show. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Dennis in upstate New York. Dennis, welcome.
Hey, welcome. Well, actually, that's your line. My line is, thanks.
Well, now we got that set.
Got that straight.
Right.
I guess, three topics. One is JPP. Why does he announce his condition? It just seems like he's a little different than other players in telling people how well he's doing and, you know, whether he's going to play or not. I always thought that was the venue of the coach.
You know what? The only thing he told us yesterday was that his shoulder hurts. He would not go into any details, whether it was a strain, a sprain, a bruise, a dislocation, broken, you know, arm falling off. He specifically said to us, guys, my shoulder hurts, and I'm not going to say anything else because I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah,
so I don't necessarily know that he's given us too much information. I mean, he's listed as having a shoulder injury on the Giants injury report. And so when he says that his shoulder hurts, doesn't that kind of just confirm the report?
Right. Yeah.
That's okay.
Well, that's better than what I thought. I guess I had come under the impression that he's kind of a loose cannon about releasing information.
No, not at all. The only thing he did do when I did press him about playing, he said, look, if it hurts and you know, I'm not going to push it. If I can't go Sunday, I can't go Sunday. We've got a bunch of other guys on this line that can get the job done, and we'll be fine anyway. So that concerns me in terms of, does he feel he's got enough confidence that his shoulder's going to feel good enough to play? That would concern me right now, to be perfectly frank with you. But no, in terms of what he was talking about and information-wise, that's not an issue.
Okay. My second topic is Gerald Jernigan. He fumbles again this past week. And I was looking in YouTube for it, but there was like a Jernigan highlights film of, and it was low lights mostly, and it's him fumbling, dropping, you know, not handling the ball properly. A lot of it, anyways. And is that your perception? I mean, I know he was having a reasonably decent time of it before this fumble, but
do you want to plead the fifth here, Paul Dottino?
What do you really want me to say?
I don't know. What can you say?
Okay.
Look, she knows me better than anybody, and she knows exactly what I'm thinking right now.
Probably Jernigan frustrates Paul probably more than any player on this team. So you may have just opened Pandora's box. I'm just tread carefully, my friend. Tread carefully.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I'll shut up.
I'm just going to say this. If it were me, Michael Cox would be returning kickoffs this weekend against the Packers. How about that?
Me too. I would say the same thing.
Was I good?
That was good.
Thank you.
You behaved. Yeah. 201-9. Thank you for your phone call, sir. Appreciate it. And thank you for tuning in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Really do appreciate it. Let's head out to California, the left coast. It is early out there. And Julio is joining us, hopefully from the schoolyard. Julio, welcome.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
All right.
Hey. I just had a couple comments. You know, I think this game, we don't have to worry too much about. I think that the team is their head is in the right place. I've listened to all the interviews. Everyone's thinking what they're supposed to be thinking is one game at a time. But for me, the biggest concern is when we start to play the better teams, you know, what I really would like to see is all three receivers and the tight end show up all on the same day every quarter. It just seems to me that for some reason or another, somebody's dropping balls either at the beginning of the game or later in the game. And I just haven't seen them all together at the same time for a full game. What do you guys think?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that this passing game is disjointed right now. It has been all season long. So, you know, do you want to blame it all on the receivers dropping balls? I mean, they've run a lot of wrong routes over the course of the season, more so by Ruben Randall than anybody else. Drops, you know, Akeem's had a few of them. Victor's had a few every once in a while. I don't know that it's been an epidemic, though. I think the bigger problem for the Lions passing game has been route running and then also Eli Manning getting the time that he needs to pick out the right guy. That to me, is at the crux of what's wrong with this passing game. It's not really dropsies.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's true. We didn't forget that Eli was under tons of pressure running the season. But, that was mainly my main concern. And you know what? I think our defense is where they're headed all in the right direction. They've been there all season. And I think that we'll be going forward as soon as the offense shows up. You know, a complete offense, meaning running game, passing, and I think we'll be fine. But thanks for taking my call, guys.
Okay, great, appreciate it. Hey, Anita, let me ask you something. We, we've talked about the quality of the Giants' play and how it clearly has to get better if they are going to fulfill this potential playoff run or potential division run that's in front of them. When you look at the schedule, and I hate to get ahead of myself in any way, but you got the Green Bay game at home, which we know they have to win, and then that sets up the must-win of all must-wins against the Cowboys the following weekend, okay? If they get that done, they're now looking at a 3-out-of-4-game stretch on the road in Washington on prime time, in San Diego, and the Chargers seem to be Jekyll and Hyde. Some weeks they're actually not bad. Other weeks they're not so good. Then a home game with Seattle and a road game against the Detroit team that can be very tough at home. I guess what I'm saying here is that, Giants fans, I appreciate the fact that you're all looking at the top mountain, the Dallas Cowboys, November 24th. Get to that game, win that game. Wow, wouldn't that be great? This road is rocky the rest of the way. This is not a smooth path to the playoffs in any way, a stretch of the imagination.
I mean, we've been talking about that. That's not
right. But what I'm saying is, in your mind, give me the two areas that this team must improve in if they are truly going to travel this road without falling into a pothole or running into a detour sign. What are the two things you need to see them compete with those teams in December that would give them a legitimate chance to make it?
For me, I think it's the offensive line and Eli Manning. I mean, I feel like defensively, listen, the defense has not given up a rushing touchdown in, what do we say, four games. The defense has not allowed a 100-yard rusher in six games. You know, defenses, they're playing very good against the pass. I mean, I think this defense is not the best defense, Giants defense we've seen, but it's a solid defense, and it's a defense that can win ball games. And let's face it, a defense that is helping keep the Giants in each and every game that we've seen them win the past three games. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, I'm really excited that Andre Brown is back. You know, I think the sky's the limit in regards to the receiving core. I really believe that the problem is Eli Manning is just under duress. He does not have a lot of time, and he's not comfortable in the pocket. And we know what happens when Eli's not comfortable. So for me, the offensive line needs to get better. And I think once the offensive line gets better, then Eli will get better. So for me, that is the red flag. That is the most concerning. That is what I worry about.
I'm going to give you one actually that I think is equally important, or maybe more so. The special teams have just been dreadful. And even if Eli should be able to throw for 300 yards a game and get the time he needs to do what he needs to do, and Akiem Nicks finds the end zone again, this special teams unit is just so deceptive right now. They are giving up field position. They are giving up points. Not just field position, but they're giving up points. Dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. And I believe that in some ways we've talked so much about the offensive line. We've talked so much about the running game. We've talked so much about the lack of big plays. We've talked so much about trouble with the Giants in the red zone. In some ways, maybe the priority right now on this team, maybe that special teams unit just needs to tilt the field a little bit better. Maybe they need to not make mistakes. Maybe they need to not give up points and put the offense in better position so that maybe they can have a better chance to succeed. Because I really believe that if Eli and the offensive line get their together and they start hitting big plays again, I don't think that's enough. I'm going to tell you something right now. I think the special teams, even if Eli gets himself squared away, I think the special teams could cost this team any chance at fighting for the division. It's that bad. It's that bad. They don't run any balls out when they get opportunities to return kicks. And they're giving up, you know, the kitchen sink when they try to cover. It's terrible.
Quick note on Akiem Nicks before we do move back on to our callers, because we do have a full board and we've got about 15 minutes left in the show. Akiem Nicks had mentioned that he did feel that he's kind of in line, on tap, ready to have a big game against the Green Bay Packers. We know that he has had success.
Yeah.
And one of the questions was, did he feel that Sam Shields was that was going to be the matchup? And his response was, I hope so. Talk about Akiem Nicks and Sam Shields and why you feel Akiem Nicks will have the upper hand in that battle.
Well, you see, here's the thing. When you're looking at the Packers secondary, we know as a team they only have three interceptions. They have nine dropped interceptions this year, by the way, also, which they're quick to tell people that they've had chances and they just haven't come through. But when you look at the secondary, what in all likely they're going to do, Shields is their best cover guy, okay? If they tack him to Nicks and just say he's the best cover guy, he doesn't have the physical tools to match up with Akiem Nicks when Akiem Nicks is right. Of course, we debate if Akiem Nicks is truly physically right all we like. We haven't seen the production that would indicate that, but let's just say for a second that he is. Shields has the best cover skills, but he doesn't match up well with him. Tremont Williams, who plays the left corner, okay, who would match up against Cruz on the outside, also slides down into the slot when they bring in their nickel package. Casey Hayward is supposed to be their nickel corner on the outside. He's got a bad hamstring, okay? So, if Williams slides inside to the slot with Cruz, they'll probably bring in Devon House to play on the outside opposite opposite Akiem, which means he gets Reuben Randall. Okay? It seems to me, and we talked yesterday about how their safeties have been horrible and given up big plays left and right all season. In fact, folks, if you listened yesterday, 15 of 22 pass attempts complete an average of 20 yards a pop going deep over the middle against these safeties. They have been horrific this season. It seems to me what will happen is they're going to take one of those safeties and probably try to bracket Cruz and leave Nix and Randall in man-to-man coverage with one safety deep over the top. That's what I think the Packers are going to do. That's why I think Akeem Nix feels good about this game. Because of that coverage in that situation with the talent that the Packers are putting out on the field, knowing that even though they have 27 sacks, they don't really have a ferocious pass rush. And, oh, by the way, two-thirds of their defensive line is also hurt and nicked up. So, look, I appreciate what you said to me before about not being too confident about the game. You can't be. The Giants have not played a perfect game yet all season. But my goodness, this Packers team is just taking on water. They are drowning on both sides of the ball. I get why a Giants player like Akeem Nix would feel pretty good about his chances on Sunday, don't you?
Yeah. Full bank of calls. So we're going to try to rock and roll with you because we're on only for another 13 minutes. Let's go to Nana. Nana calling in from Georgia. Nana, welcome.
Hi. The previous caller had pretty much talked about what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to touch on special teams. He said that special teams could pretty much cough up the games for us, the remaining games, and that's what I wanted to touch on because, you know, our schedule gets very difficult, especially with Detroit and Seattle. Those are games I'm very concerned about. You know, I don't see how we're going to win when special teams are coughing up all of those points. I mean, who is going to be held accountable for special teams? I don't get it. You know, with special teams, you should have the best return person returning the ball, you know, and they're just giving away points, and I'm just very upset about that. You know, like, Tom Coughlin is very stubborn. Like, why not have Cox returning the ball? I don't get it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's very upsetting. You know, and then with Eli, I mean, our offense, yeah, our defense is playing good, but our offense is not helping because, like I said, our schedule is getting very tough coming up. And how do we expect our defense to, you know, continue to carry us? You know, I just don't see it happening down the stretch. I mean, offense is going to have to get better. You know, and that's pretty much all I have to say. Y'all can touch on that.
Well, thanks for the call. And, Anita, I don't know I can add anything to that. Special teams are a huge concern, and the offense is not clicking on all cylinders. What else can we say? This team has sputtered along now for 9 weeks, and they're still in the race, which is great. But at the same time, you know, they still got a long way to go. And it starts Sunday. You know what? The best thing that could happen for this team Sunday is not just win the game, Anita. How about they actually go out and bring their A game to the table for the first time this season and actually play really well? Wouldn't that be cool if they really, really played well? Didn't just squeak by and win, but they played well. That at least would give you some sense of, I don't want to say confidence, but an idea of what they might be able to bring to the table the following weekend against Dallas.
Let's go to Lynn in Columbia. Lynn, welcome.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
Okay. Good. Everything's good here. Let me just exaggerate a bit, if I might. Based upon the last 10 minutes of conversation on the show, including Vanna's comments about the tough road ahead, I'm pulling down all Giants schedules in my house, off the bulletin boards, off the refrigerator. I just absolutely cannot look ahead because every time I look ahead, I say to myself, we dug ourselves one heck of a hole. Look at this schedule. I'm going to check Monday morning in the newspaper to see who we play the next week.
Good idea, Len.
Exaggeration. Probably an exaggeration, but I hope, you know, and hopefully the players are thinking the same way, too. Hey, just a comment, JPP, and actually maybe it's a question, Paul and Anita, you can help me out here. You know, when you listen to JPP talk about his injuries, he always seems to put the decision about whether he's going to play in his lap. Paul and Anita, it doesn't work that way, does it?
Not with the Giants.
I mean, JPP can't say, I'm not going to work this week.
The only thing that can happen, Len, the buck stops with the medical staff in this organization. It's always been that way and always will be. But here's where the variable comes in. If the medical staff clears the player and says, it's okay, he's got the green, he can practice or he can play, and the player says, oh, I don't feel right, something's wrong, I can't go, well, they're not going to force him to play. In other words, the player has veto power not to go on the field, but he doesn't necessarily have it in reverse where he can force himself onto the field. You follow? He can take himself off or prevent himself from going on, but he can't force himself into the game.
Wow. Well, I hope it doesn't get to that, guys. But all I would say to JP is if it you know, gets to the point where the doctors say you can practice and the doctors say you can play, suck it up.
Well, that would be the obvious response. I'm sure that would be the way that the coach would be leaning toward. But at the same time, there's got to be a sense of trust between the player, the medical staff, and the coaching staff who say, hey, you know what? We can't find any medical reason for you to sit out. We can't see anything on the tests or anything on our board that indicates you've got a problem worthy of sitting out. And if the player says, look, I can't tell you what it is, but I don't feel good. I can't do this. This hurts. That's on him.
I'm not arguing with the process. The Giants got it right. They got it right. That's the way it should work. And it should be the medical staff that has the last decision with the player, you know, the player having veto power, as you just described it. And it should work that way. And I'm not sure every team does. I don't think the Washington Redskins work that way. I think that was one of the problems with RG3 and Dr. Andrews. One of the tweeters early in the, earlier today alluded to the fact that, it needs to start from the inside. It needs to start with the defensive line. We got to stop the run. I agree with that wholeheartedly. That's been the thing that has put us in the game from week to week, the last 4 or 5 weeks, where we've been, shutting down that run. I think we just got to continue to emphasize that, shut down Eddie Lacy, and, we'll see what happens from there. If we can put them, even second and eight, second and nine, and put this guy in a position to have to throw the ball, we get a little bit of a push up the middle. I think things are favorable, as you've alluded to. I know we have to be careful, but I think this is a game that the Giants should win. Okay, guys, thanks for taking my call. Let's go Giants.
Thanks, Len. Anita, I want to mention something to you. Terrell Thomas told me yesterday, and it was interesting. Here's a guy in the secondary coming off his big pick last week against Oakland. And when I talked to him about this Packers offense, he, like every good Giants defensive player, would say, we've got to stop the run first, because he said, hey, it's all about getting Lacy, containing him, controlling him, and putting the ball in the quarterback's hands. We want Lacy to try to run it, because if we can stop him, and we're going to, now it's up to that quarterback. Let that third-string quarterback think he's got to win the game. Put it in his hands. Force him to beat us. And that's really the way the Giants should think.
201-939-4513. About 5 minutes left in the show. Let's try to really get through these, Paul. Mike, calling in from New Jersey. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Just wanted to touch upon what you guys were talking about earlier. Absolutely special teams needs to improve, but I feel like that's the case not only every game this year, but year after year. I always felt we were kind of soft in the special teams area. Besides that block for the TD last week, I can't remember anything exciting ever happening. special teams in not only weeks but years. And the offensive line can use some help, but I feel like they're progressing over the last couple of weeks, so I'll leave that alone. But I feel like what we really need and what would be nice would be some actual production from our tight end spot. And I know you've touched on it before today and on previous shows, but, I mean, this guy Myers, what's he doing? We brought him in as a pass-catching scoring threat, and I don't even know if he scored a touchdown this year, let alone every other week is either no catches or a handful of catches for 15 or 20 yards. I mean,
he's got one. That was against Dallas. Opening day against Dallas.
Opening day, okay. So, I mean, he seems slow. And he's not really, built for run block. He's kind of, I don't want to say soft, but he's not a run blocker. And it doesn't seem like Eli even trusts him to catch the ball. The Giants' line isn't good enough for Eli to wait for, you know, this guy to finish his routes and get catches. And how do you go catchless against your former team last week in a rivalry game? You know, it's mind-boggling. And in hindsight, letting Bennett go was, I feel, a huge mistake. And give some of these other guys a shot, because this guy's, if we're going to get no production, why not see if we can seek it elsewhere? I appreciate it, and I'll listen to your
Thanks
comments.
Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Quick question for you. In looking at the plays with the Giants, what is the percentage of plays that Brandon Myers stays home and helps with pass protect as opposed to going out as receiving?
Oh, wow. You know what? I don't have that percentage offhand, and I haven't logged it. I haven't literally kept track of that, so I don't want to put a number out there, you know, off the cuff. But I would say it's got to be a lot more than he would do in Oakland, for sure. I mean, come on. It's not even close. Here's what I will say about Myers, and I understand he caught the 70-plus balls last year for Oakland, but what I have found here since he's been with the Giants, he doesn't have length, which is kind of tough, because a lot of times your tight end's going to catch that stuff over the middle, and you like him to have length to be able to go up and get the ball, to be able to grab the ball in traffic or over the middle, where the passing lanes may not be as clean as you'd like them to be. I have found that to me, has been a bit more problem than I thought it would be. Remember, Martellus Bennett was 6'5". Myers is not.
Paul, did you see the numbers Myers had in Oakland?
I did.
So what are you talking about?
What I'm thinking is that Myers, when he was in Oakland, was probably catching more stuff out to the sides. Because what I've been told is that they really don't like to run him up the seam very much, because they don't think he's got the skill set to be a seam route runner like Martellus Bennett did. That's what I've been told. He doesn't run the same pass routes that Martellus Bennett used to run.
Okay, so again, and this is something we've been talking about all season long, is look at the talent that's around.
And adjust.
So instead of having him run square ins or slant and goes, or have him run wheels, have him run 10-yard out.
Curls, hooks.
Curls,
those things. Yeah. Roll routes, those things. I know. We've talked about how they could have tweaked this offense weeks ago.
And they have. Let's continue. Let's go to Eric. Eric, welcome.
Good morning, Paul. I was kind of like a couple questions. I know it's kind of the end of the season. Can the Giants get like Ed Reed or Rocky Manning into the squad?
I think we're having trouble with your cell phone, but Anita, I think what he was asking
about Ed Reed.
Should the Giants look at Ed Reed? Is that what he said?
I think he was asking about Ed Reed. Everything I'm hearing is that he might go to the Jets and kind of reunite with Rex Ryan and Dennis Thurman, who Dennis Thurman was his D coach when he was in Baltimore, and as we know, Rex Ryan was the defensive coordinator.
Right.
So everything I'm hearing is that potentially Ed Reed may go to the Jets.
I don't think there's any room for him here, to be perfectly frank with you. The Giants' safety spot's pretty good hands right now with Will Hill, Ontrell Roll, Ryan Mundy. I think the Giants are okay at safety. I don't think they need him.
Very good return guy, by the way.
That's true.
Steve in D.C. Steve, welcome.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good morning.
Hey, I just had a couple quick comments, if I could. You know, I know you guys were touching on special teams there, and you know, I personally, you know I felt like, you know, the last, you know, other than this year, the last couple of years were a lot better than they had been in a while. And, you know, I think that Weatherford specifically has kind of took a lot of heat last week for, you know, some kicks that look, you know, pushed or whatever you want to call it. But what people don't realize is that, you know, he's been, over the last couple of years, he's been asked to be a directional kicker, which is not an easy thing to do. I personally don't like it. To me, it's almost like basically surrendering, just saying we just can't cover. I don't like it. I just don't like the play at all. And I kind of, you know, me personally, I think that, you know, we just need to, you know, have some better plays and just try to cover a kick instead of trying to get too cute with it. Because every time, I mean, it's a directional kick. I mean, you know, you can call it a skill set, or I just call it luck. It's about me trying to kick the ball, you know, to land as close to, you know, to the opponent's end zone as possible, but, you know, for kicking it out of bounds.
With all the respect, the best directional kickers in the game over the years, whether it be Dave Jennings, Jeff Fiegels, Steve Weatherford, or some of these other fellas, they'll tell you it's not luck. It is a science. It is a skill. That's why there are so few guys who are so good at doing it on a consistent basis. And, you know, Anita and I work with Jeff Fiegels, who had more kicks inside the 20 than any punter in NFL history. That's a science. And it took him years to learn it, to the point where he could practically hit the top of a pin from 40 yards away. I mean, that's how good he got. So I respectfully disagree with your comment. I think your pass is way off base. It's not a matter of luck. And it is a very important part of strategy in terms of tilting the field.
Let's end with our last call of the day. This is Bill calling in from Dallas. Bill, let's end with a good one. What you got for us?
Hey, good morning, Anita. How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, listen, I just had a couple of quick questions, and then I'll let you answer it when I'll hang up. Number one, what's going on with Brandon Jacobs? Because I haven't seen anything on the internet about him. And number two, David Wilson. I just don't think this guy should be our leading back because he doesn't seem to be able to bust into those defensive linemen like Bradshaw used to and Joe Morris and a lot of those guys used to be able to just hit those linemen and move them. And then number three, our secondary. We got some great people back there, but why are we always giving up 12 and 13 yards every time? So I'll let you answer that for me. Thank you.
Well, you and I have talked about David Wilson a lot here, whether it be because of his injuries or because of what they were hoping he was going to be able to do for them. The bottom line is this. Right now he's on injury reserve because of the neck problem and the stenosis. And until he gets back and the Giants then figure out what it is that they want to do with him and what he's capable of doing, it's almost pointless to even talk about. They've got half a season here left with Andre Brown, Brandon Jacobs, who's got sweat in his knee, and that means he's on again and off again in terms of his availability, whether it's for games or for practice. Tom said he was hoping to get Brandon Jacobs on the practice field today. So that's going to be a big deal. And then if he can come back tomorrow, what's going to happen? And then how's he feel on Sunday morning? Does the knee swell up again, or can he go out and play? That's kind of an unknown right now, and that's what happens when you got a 30-plus-year-old running back. You guys know I'm a big Brandon Jacobs fan. I don't think there's any question when he's capable of playing, he could be an asset to this team, but right now that knee is kind of tricky. And that's really about the only thing I can say, unless you have something to add.
No.
There's really nothing else to say about Brandon.
No, it's been a great show. And, again, we appreciate all the audience participation. Number one, listening in to Big Blue Kickoff Live throughout the week. We do appreciate it. And, of course, all your phone calls and your tweets on Twitter at Giants. And, as always, include that hashtag Giants chat. So we're going to sign off. Again, a lot happening here at the facility today. Practice, head coach Tom Coughlin, players made available, and then just a reminder, set your alarm 4 p.m. Eastern time today. Big Blue hits live. Myself, Paul Dottino, and Robin Oben will bring you the latest from all that goes on today here at Giants. And then tomorrow, Lance Meadow and John Schmelk will be hosting Big Blue Hits Live. Remember to call in and give them some you-know-what.
Grief.
For giving me losses for picks I'm not even making. Paul, what is going on here?
I have never heard of anything so unfair in my entire life.
Anyway, stick up for me, folks.
It's criminal.
Have a great day.